We'll talk about the effects of corporal punishment on children this hour and wonder why, when the research says it is ineffective and harmful, a majority of parents still spank their children. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, September 22nd. The arrest of Minnesota Vikings player Adrian Peterson for using a switch on his four-year-old son has reignited the debate over the use of corporal punishment and prompts us to ask this morning, is it acceptable or appropriate to spank children? Why or why not? Do you or have you spanked your children? Were you spanked as a child? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jane Singer, a clinical psychologist at Children's Hospital Boston and Harvard Medical School. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I would think that few people would agree that taking a switch to a four-year-old and leaving bloody welts is an appropriate form of disciplining children. But most parents do think that spanking is appropriate. Is that right?
Well, that's what the polls and the research seem to suggest, is that even though the such organizations as the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Child Welfare League of America, et cetera, certainly advise against corporal punishment, that it does seem to be a majority of families that were raised themselves with spanking as part of the practices that their own parents used and that continue to use with their children.
But it is changing over time, is that right?
Yes, it's very much changing. I think it's changing as people understand more about child development in general and the importance of children's social-emotional well-being, that their experiences in early life have such an impact on their behavior and their well-being for the rest of their life, that that practices certainly are changing.
Yeah. I looked at one study or survey, at least, that asked if spanking was an appropriate form of discipline. And back in the mid-80s, it was in the mid-80s, you know, like 85% of parents mm-hmm. thought it was appropriate. One a couple of years ago, that was down to about 65 to 70%. So it's still pretty high, though.
Yes, it's still more than half the families who are raising children.
Yeah. So why do you think that is?
Well, I actually think that parents in general are under a lot of pressure from people around them to keep their children under control. And, you know, in the absence, in the moment of having another adult to support the parents' own ability to stay, you know, somewhat emotionally neutral in the face of their child behaving in an out of control manner, that it's it can feel very much to a parent like they're doing exactly what other people expect of them, which is to immediately get their child under control. And it feels in the moment, I think, for many parents that it works, that if they spank, the child stops what they're doing. And then it feels effective. But the problem with it is that in the long run, it's kind of working against the goal that we want to support for the child, which is that they learn to think for themselves and to develop their own self-control, not to control themselves because they're afraid they're going to get hurt.
Yeah. I know parents who say, well, no, I don't spank regularly, but if my child is reaching for a hot plate on the stove, I'm gonna swat them, and because I have to do something quickly, and that works. What's your response to that?
Well, again, I think parents are under a lot of pressure, and I certainly don't want to come across to any parent as being unsupportive of their efforts in raising their children. So it's a tricky question in the sense that there are many a moment where many a parent feel that impulse to do something, you know, very quickly. I think that, again, in the long run, the question in some ways becomes to think about, well, what's the most effective way that a child ultimately is going to learn how to control themselves so that they themselves can make those decisions in the face of their own impulses, especially as they get older into, you know, middle childhood and certainly adolescence.
Yeah. In response to the news of Minnesota Vikings player Adrian Peterson injuring his 4-year-old with a switch, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry released a statement in opposition to the use of any type of corporal punishment to discipline children. And it said, extensive research demonstrates that corporal punishment can be harmful, ineffective over time, and is associated with increased aggression and decreased moral internalization of appropriate behavior.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What does that mean, decreased moral internalization of appropriate behavior?
Well, let's imagine for a moment a 5-year-old. So they've already lived, you know, 5 years being socialized and nurtured by the people around them. And what we'd like to envision, let's say for any 5-year-old, not that they're finished developing by any means, but for any 5-year-old, that they have by that point started to really realize that the people around them, whether they're friends, you know, peers or adults, other people, whether they know them well, don't know them well, have needs, that the child themselves is not the only person on the face of the earth that has their own needs, and that in recognizing that other people have needs, that they have begun to regulate themselves, manage their own impulses and urges based upon their emotions in service of not wanting to do to anyone else what they wouldn't want to have done to them. So that's very, very different than a child who by 5, let's say, has learned not to hurt their friends or not to misbehave, but they have learned to do that out of fear. They're afraid that if they do something, quote-unquote, wrong, they'll get, quote-unquote, in trouble or even harmed. And they may, in fact, be able to control some of them, you know, themselves. But that's not as really a higher, that's not as high a level of moral development as a child who has internalized, meaning that their emotional experiences have been positive. And so they're able to think through the ability to be part of another person's emotional experiences and stop themselves from, you know, hitting their friend over the head at circle time in, you know, kindergarten, even if they feel like it, and not because they're afraid that they're going to get hurt, but because they know that it would not feel good to their friend, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to do something that would cause harm or discomfort to somebody else. So it's the difference between developing empathy versus being afraid and stopping yourself because of fear. And I think that's what that statement is referring to, is the ability to internalize and then, you know, operate from your own moral code that comes through, you know, comes from thinking through your behavior and your actions and what's the consequences of your actions if you, you know, if you did, you know, act on your feelings. No one is saying that young children don't have strong emotions. They have really strong emotions. You know, what we'd like to see is them behave themselves out of empathy and self-control, and that really does come from being disciplined with empathy and self-control on the part of the parent.
We are discussing this hour the effects of spanking children, and we will when we come back as we go along, talk about other ways to think about discipline. We are talking with Jane Singer, a clinical psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School. And we are welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming your own experiences and your views. Do you think spanking is an appropriate way to discipline children? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. The discussion about corporal punishment and its impact on children has reignited in the headlines in recent weeks. We are talking with a clinical psychologist about the long-term effects of spanking and other ways to think about discipline. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, a clinical psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital, Jane Singer. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's go to the phones. Our lines are full. I'm not surprised. G in Madison joins us first. Hi, G.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Yes, I do believe that spanking can be a way to help the kids as long as you don't use the spank to empty your own emotion, to fix your own problem, but to help the kids to understand their own doing.
Yeah, so you're saying as long as you're not too hard on the child and really, then it's okay?
Yeah, as long as you're not too hard and just use the spanking like a 2 or 3 tap on the butt, something like that, just for the kids to understand that was wrong and move on, not just using any type of material to basically discipline your kid. It's wrong because then you cannot control that. But if you use your hand, you can easily control yourself as long as you're not using your emotion in the process of doing it.
Yeah. Jane Singer, what about that?
Well, I think that, you know, I was listening to, it was a Gene, his comments very carefully, and certainly, you know, many a family, you know, do agree with him. I actually don't agree with the use of any spanking, but I was listening to him, and one of the phrases that he used was a tap on the butt, and you know, he was emphasizing something very important, which is for the parent not to be out of control with their own emotions and using the strategy of spanking out of their own lack of self-control. A tap on the butt, it's very hard to define, you know, what that might look like or feel like to the child. So it's hard to comment specifically on what, you know, he as an individual does. I think the important thing is when a child is engaging in a behavior that the parent does not agree with, certainly it's okay to stop the child from doing that. It's just that it's possible to stop the child without actually using any force. And I don't think Gene was talking about force. Again, his phrase was a tap on the butt. You know, then it becomes a conversation about, well, what's the difference then at that point, you know, if you're in control of yourself, just as he said, and you're not emptying, draining your own emotions on the child, very important, you know, wisdom from him, you can, you know, just as easily in that moment choose to, you know, pick the child up and bring them to a separate place and ask them to think about what they just did. And for a very young child, that might result in a tantrum. And that's fine. The tantrum is actually the opportunity for the child to realize that something just happened that was not approved of by the people around them. And that's okay. The child learns empathy by realizing other people have limits to what's going to be acceptable from the child. The tantrum is also a really great opportunity. I know parents don't feel this way when their child tantrums in public, but when the child tantrums, the only thing that is going to bring the child out of the tantrum is their own ability to get themselves back under control. And that's part of the process of the child's learning. So again, back to the caller's question, I might suggest that there are other ways to create a pause, you know, mm-hmm. in the action when the child is doing something that they should not be doing. But I do appreciate the caller's emphasis on the parent being careful that it's not an expression of their own out of control emotions, and that's pretty key.
So specifically, Johnny throws a toy truck and hits Sally in the little Sally in the head. A parent observes this, pick up Johnny, and the classic timeout when something like that happens.
The classic timeout, or if a parent, you know, there's many parents that I speak with about this on a regular basis. If a parent feels like asking their child to go into timeout, you know, a very young child, a toddler can mm-hmm. go into their crib, and you can ask them to, you know, to be there for, you know, a minute or two, and they can have their tantrum there because no toddler likes to be told no. But the older child, if the parent is feeling as if just even transitioning to a timeout becomes a control battle, the parent themselves can separate themselves from the child. I cannot let you do that. You know, I love you. I cannot let you do that. And then withdrawing other people from the child so the child can have their emotion to themselves and then pull themselves back together. And I often am talking with parents about then coming back into interaction with the child as soon as the child has gotten themselves back under control.
Thank you, G, for the call. Candy in River Falls is with us. Hello, Candy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I guess in our family, spankings have become less or fewer or both over the generations. My dad was beaten with a belt when he was young. We were spanked occasionally. Usually it was my mother with the fly swatter, which stung but didn't injure. The only real spanking, big spanking I ever remember was when I was 4 or 5 years old and I looked up at my dad and said, "I don't have to," and kicked him in the shins.
Uh-oh, yeah.
That wasn't a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
In later years, we laughed about that. Because my husband and I were both brought up being spanked when we were really naughty, we spanked our kids, which now I wish we hadn't. But our grandchildren have almost never been spanked, and they're wonderful. So parenting works if the kids know you love them, whether you're spanked or not.
Yeah. But thank you for sharing that, Kenny. When you say, "I wish that I hadn't," why do you say that?
Because I see now that there were other ways to handle things, especially when the kids were older. Although sometimes I think just one, like the gentleman before me said, one crack on the butt is kind of an attention getter sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they stop and say, "Oh, yeah, okay." I think that there are times when appropriate to the age of the child, a crack on the padded spots or something isn't going to harm them, and it will just get their attention. But beating or spanking too long or spanking with anything other than your hand or that's just not appropriate.
Thank you, Candy. Let me ask you, Jane Singer, about that belief that it's just a open hand on the butt, in very rare instances. Is this harmful to children?
So, again, the wisdom in our caller's words, Candy's words, she is outlining what so many families, I think, are experiencing down through generations, which is at one point in history, it was not uncommon whatsoever for children to be, quote unquote, disciplined with an actual object, a switch, a belt, et cetera. And she just outlined for us this kind of lovely progression of mm-hmm. four generations to the point where her grandchildren don't receive any corporal punishment whatsoever. And you could hear the ambivalence, in Candy's words around her own mixed feelings, even regret for having used corporal punishment at all with her own children. But again, still holding on to the idea that, just to get the child's attention. So,
let me hold you there, Jane Singer. When we pick up after news, we will talk about the harmful effects of spanking, even if it is swat on the butt to get someone's a child's attention. Is spanking harmful to children? Is it effective? Our guest is saying that for the most part it is not. Jane Singer, clinical psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, talking with us about the effects of corporal punishment on children. And we welcome your questions for her. We'll take more after this news. In response to the news that Minnesota Vikings player Adrian Peterson injured his four-year-old son with a switch, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry released a statement in opposition to the use of any type of corporal punishment to discipline children. The statement said, "Extensive research demonstrates that corporal punishment can be harmful, ineffective over time, and is associated with increased aggression and decreased moral internalization of appropriate behavior." I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio at 6:37 on this Monday, September 22nd. We are talking with a clinical psychologist this hour about the effects of spanking children and other ways to think about discipline, and welcoming your experiences, your views, your questions. Do you think spanking is an appropriate way to discipline children, and why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jane Singer, a clinical psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School. We heard from a caller just before our news break who mentioned that her father was whipped with a belt, that she was spanked. She spanked her children, but perhaps not as much as her parents spanked her, and now her grandchildren are not being spanked at all, and she thought that they were turning out just fine. Yet, Dr. Singer, she mentioned that she still thought an occasional swat on the butt to grab a child's attention when something wrong happens was okay. And I guess my question to you as a psychologist is it okay? We're not talking, no one would say that switching, taking a switch to somebody and beating them with a switch is okay. But is it okay? Is it harmful to a child to have a swat on the butt on occasion when there's inappropriate behavior being exhibited?
Right, right. The caller, I think, the woman Candy. What she was talking about was getting the child's attention. So again, a swat on the butt to get the child's attention. It's not clear to me that something that could easily, that the child's attention could be gotten some other way in that moment. I would think yes, and part of my response to this is very much thinking about how is it that we think of discipline. I think it's very probable that at one point in time, in one point in history, disciplining a child was very much thought of as punishment. And what I was listening for in Candy's comment when she said that there's been such a change over the generations in the use of spanking in her own family, that that's very much similar to the trend that we're seeing, more largely in society, which is the shift from thinking about discipline as punishment to thinking about discipline as teaching. And so, you know, one could easily argue that in the moment, a tap on the butt, I'm thinking of some of the other words, you know, G used, you know, earlier in the call, it's not really the question, the debate is not really, oh, is that okay? The question is, what's your goal as a parent? In the moment, many parents feel like, well, the spanking worked because the child stopped what they're doing. And we can all agree, yes, that is true, that when the child's engaged in a behavior that a parent does not like and the parent spanks and the child stops, it feels in the moment like, well, see, that worked. The question becomes, what's the cost? You know, what's the longer-term cost of showing a child as a parent, yes, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I can take control of you? Those things are true. The parent is always bigger, is always stronger, and certainly can take control of the child. However, the harm is not so much just was there physical harm done to the body, just as you said, Joy. You know, of course, people in general don't feel that taking a switch to, you know, bare skin and leaving, you know, raised or bloodied marks is appropriate. It's abusive. The question about, spanking becomes not so much is there physical harm in the moment. It has to do with the fear. It gets the child's attention through fear. And the longer-term effect of that has to do with the child's ability to think through for themselves and control themselves out of a sense of being able to understand another person's needs and another person's point of view. And so what I would suggest is that it's more helpful for us to think about discipline as teaching and coaching and not so much to think about discipline as punishment. The purpose in the moment is not for the child to feel afraid that they could be harmed or afraid of being overpowered, that the point of getting their attention is to show them that part of our love for the child, as parents, part of our love for the child is that we are not going to let them do something that is going to be harmful to themselves or to somebody else. And so that the child folds in their parents' love for them along with their limits. Limits and love are, you know, working hand in hand with each other so that the child comes to truly understand and internalize and live by this code that part of love means being kept safe. And when the child feels like they're being kept safe, even from their own impulses, they are much more emotionally healthy over time than if they are taught to control themselves by through fear or harm.
Yeah, I should have been clear that I did mean psychological harm as opposed to physical harm. But
yes.
Barbara on Facebook says, I have vivid, terrible memories of being spanked as a young child. Mm. It terrified me. And at the time, I had no idea why I was being hit. The spanking usually occurred after I had hit my sister. Why anyone would think that correcting that behavior with more hitting doesn't make any sense to me. Mm. Parents who spank are in need of parenting classes. The thought that telling a child not to hit by hitting, it was puzzling to Barbara, And it was also, she was found herself, I guess, being terrified of her parents.
Right, and those are two key pieces, right? It's mm-hmm. puzzling, it doesn't make sense, and so it doesn't help the child think through the steps to, you know, how do you resolve conflict? How do you, you know, recognize, how does the child come to recognize their own emotions and then learn to more adaptively express their emotions so that instead of hitting their sister, they're saying, I'm mad at you, right? Those are life skills that would do anybody well, not just in childhood, but in their adult relationships also. And what I'm hearing in this caller's or this writer's comments is those two things, the fear. So what she experienced was the fear and the confusion, meaning, you know, for young children, they don't yet understand what's right and wrong. So if corporal punishment is used in response to a behavior that a young child doesn't yet understand is wrong, it doesn't give them the opportunity to actually learn, you know, what is the difference between right and wrong. It provides the opportunity for them to internalize that fear, or even in this person's case, you know, she even said that the terror, and the longer-term emotional or, as you said, psychological issue has to do with sort of the two main things that we're wanting children to develop in their earliest years and then throughout their childhood, one being self-control, self-regulation, and the other being how to have healthy relationships in terms of being able to trust other people, and also being able to be trustworthy, other people to be able to depend, you know, upon them. And again, those are life skills that will do well for the child, throughout their life.
Let's go back to the phones. Jimmy in Algoma is with us. Hello, Jimmy.
Yes.
Go ahead with your question.
Well, yeah, I have a 3.5-year-old son who's autistic, and he really has no concept of discipline or understanding of it. You know, he'll hit his brother, and we'll tell him no, and he'll laugh, or, you know, he won't understand that timeouts can also be a challenge, because if we place him in a room or an area where he has a timeout, he'll have a complete meltdown where he's in danger of hurting himself. And we don't spank, we don't use any sort of physical discipline on him, but I wonder if you have any strategies for children who may not quite understand the concept of discipline and how to go about disciplining them.
Hmm. Do you want me to speak, Joy?
Yes, I'm sorry, Dr. Singer.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jimmy. You're raising such an important question, which has to do with you know, not just typical childhood, but what about for children who have a variety of developmental challenges? And my heart is so warmed to hear that Jimmy and Jimmy's family do not use pain and punishment for their child who's living with autism, because it would be that much more confusing for a child who already is struggling to understand the world in clear ways, and especially with children with developmental challenges, the research supports that the use of physical punishment, corporal punishment, can backfire tremendously and result in aggressive and self-injurious behavior on the part of the child living with autism. So, you know, in the brief time that I have to respond, I will let Jimmy know that children with autism are very familiar to me. It's a big part of my practice, my area of practice. And I would wonder with Jimmy about what resources you have available through your local service delivery systems. Your child is 3.5, and in your state, I don't know if that means that early intervention is still available or if your child's services have transitioned to the Department of Education, but there are techniques that can be very effective with children with autism, specifically behavioral learning techniques. And I would think about partnering up with a behavioral therapist who has specific expertise in working with children with autism to devise together with you a behavior management program, including ample use of positive reinforcement. So for example, the goal in this kind of situation, and in some ways with any child, would be to move in very quickly with reinforcement, praise, and in the case of a child with autism, it may need to be something even more tangible as a reward when they have engaged in behavior that shows more self-control. So, for example, catching a child, Jimmy's son, let's say, if he looks like he is getting angry and potentially might lose control, and moving in really quickly before he has a chance to hit, and providing the reward for having controlled himself. It can be, it's if you can imagine, for parents who are listening, for parents whose children don't have autism, it's challenging enough to help them learn self-control. For parents living with children with autism, you all know it is that much more difficult, but that much more important to be using positive, positive rewards.
Yeah. I need to jump in, Dr. Singer. We have a break, and then we'll continue taking calls with questions and views on the appropriateness of corporal punishment on children, spanking, the effects of spanking on children. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Our guest is Jane Singer, a clinical psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, talking about the effects of corporal punishment on children and other ways to think about discipline. And let's go back to the phones. William in Houston, Texas is with us. Hello, William.
How are you?
I'm good. What do you think?
I think, and I will say, that the spanking worked for me. I finished high school. I have 2 college degrees, and it's also worked for my 3 children. At the same time, is that I didn't spank them for everything they did. I would tell them that they would need to go to their room and think about what they did. And when they are ready to talk about it, come and talk to me with indecency and in order. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't believe that children young, as I told the one lady, that can think about between the ages of 3, 5, maybe 8 to really understand what they have done. It is up to the parent to teach them between right and wrong.
Yeah, and you don't think you can do that without spanking, William?
Spanking may, you may have to spank the child depending on the severity of what they have done.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get to why would you not just have them go to their room to think about what they did all the time? Why do you have to spank at all?
For instance, you use the incident of the son throwing the toy to hit the child. Okay, now a 3-year-old may not know that. So, yes, you would tell them, no, you don't do anything like that. But when they become 5 or 6 and they do something like that, yes. Okay.
All right. Well, let's, and I'm sorry, we are very short on time, Dr. Singer. React to William's theory as to that, you know, some kids really don't understand how to control themselves, and spanking should be the option.
Well, I think that, you know, it's the opportunity to kind of just, emphasize what I've been talking about all along, which is that our main goal as parents, as a society, with this national resource, which is our children, is to help them learn to control themselves. And that's the kind of lasting impulse control that will do them well throughout their lives. And the best way for children to learn that is by being surrounded by an emotional environment and relationships that also model and show self-control. And so our latest caller, I would say, I absolutely agree with the idea of asking a child to go sit by themselves and think it through. Come, if you heard his words, come back and talk to me when you're ready to talk. And that is the kind of discipline that represents teaching. He even used the word teaching. I would say that the spanking was not necessary in the long run for the child to learn and truly internalize what is right and wrong, and that it is through us as adults demonstrating self-control that the child learns their own ability to regulate, to control themselves. And that is actually very good for their brain development, ultimately their own ability to not only control themselves, but also to think through conflict and problem solve for themselves in a way that's pro-social. Mm-hmm. That the fear, that the threat of harm is not necessary in the child's emotional experience for them to actually learn self-control. I think the tricky thing is that it takes a long time for children to learn the difference between right and wrong. It takes many, many, many times of stopping them, telling them, no, I love you, I cannot let you do that. In our family, you know, for example, the difference between hitting a child when they've hit someone versus in our family, we do not hit, and it takes many, many, many of those instances for the child to finally be able to control themselves. But once they do, they're doing it out of a very pro-social sense of themselves, their self-esteem, and a trust in the relationships around them, as opposed to fear.
Less than a minute ago, do you think that we will see the prevalence of spanking continuing to decline? Will we ever phase it out?
Yes, I do, because we, at this point, interestingly enough, even at the national level, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, even at that level, and if listeners are interested, you can go to the CDC.gov site, and there's a whole section around parenting and positive parenting tips. I mean, at that level, where we're taking it just as seriously as infectious disease control, there's a drift, certainly, towards the use of positive parenting strategies. I do hope that is the direction that we are headed in.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jane Singer, clinical psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School. Thanks to Brianne Chasseau and Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.